Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know. Wherever you get podcasts.
Bubble wrap.
I know times are changing. Ooh. 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 Nana, what's my name? That was a mashup.
That was a good mashup.
I think I could be a really good DJ.
DJ J. Willie.
Mm-hmm. The coolest DJ on the motherfucking planet.
Purple rain.
Have you seen Purple Rain, dude?
I seen Purple Rain a million bajillion times.
It's so good. My favorite scene in the movie is when he like comes home.
Right,
like,
and his dad. And
looking
his mom.
For his dad. He's like, where are you, motherfucker? Yeah. And I was like, you can't.
And then his dad just like flicks him and he like slams up against his like little body and his curly bangs like slam up against a wall.
It's so good.
Like, it's like, oh my God, I love you.
And it's peak. He was writing like two songs a day. That's like that's insane. Mm-hmm. I would love to be that talented. Mm-hmm. He plays like all those instruments. And he could dance,
mm-hmm. And he has such style.
Yeah, he knew how to wear a fucking tunic.
Yeah, and he had his aesthetic, and he like wasn't afraid to like play with society standards of gender.
Exactly, and like sexuality just felt very like
natural.
It was very future.
Yeah, it was so future.
So
not
future.
The musician future.
Yeah, like get over yourself, future.
Yeah.
It's Phoebe Robinson.
And it's mother freaking Jessica Williams.
And you are listening to Two Dope Queens from WNYC Studios.
We got a hot new episode for you recorded live at Union Hall.
We have Shane Torres, who's been on Conan.
An amazing man with long hair.
He's also been on the L train because he lives in Brooklyn. We have Roy Wood Jr. period. Hilarious exclamation mark.
What?
We got Khalees Hawkins, all-star mom and all-around funny lady. Not the one who sings My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard. Hawkins.
She's a light-skinned sister. Uh-huh. And some of you black dudes out there probably get up in her face and then get mad when she don't want to talk to you. And then be like, you think you're all that because you light-skinned. Don't say that shit.
Enough of the chit-chat. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome to Dope Queens live from Union Hall in Brooklyn, New York.
Brought to you by WNYC Studios.
Oh my God!
You were thinking it.
How did you know I was going to say brought to you by? That was so magical.
It was the magical.
Oh my
it was
God.
Like two Oprahs at once.
I know. It was. You look great.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh I like
it. I only put in, you know, a minimal amount of effort.
Well, I have some exciting news to share.
Oh my God, you're finally pregnant.
Oh God, do not say that. anyway, so the news is that I finished my book. I turned it in.
Phoebe, congratulations.
Thank you. I turned it in last Tuesday. And
how did it feel turning it in?
It felt so good. I was like, I think I could be president. Like, I was
like,
if you can write a book and miss multiple deadlines, but then eventually turn it in, you can be president. I feel it's...
because you know literally... who definitely, like, hasn't wrote a really good book? Donald Trump. So.
Right. I hope you guys will all buy it when it comes out.
Hell yeah. You better.
Yeah.
Better.
That didn't sound like most of you were gonna buy it. Okay.
They're like, yes, maybe. What's the title and the plot?
Okay. So it is a collection of essays called "You Can't Touch My Hair," that got the black people on board.
So they were like, "You."
The white people are like, "Why is that a problem?"
That's not. I don't know. I got a story for you. Speaking of.
That's why I wrote it. And it's just going to be about like race, gender, pop culture stuff. And then Jess is going to write the foreword. So it'll be like it'll be just like a tag team of black girl magic, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of, you can't touch my hair.
Yeah.
I had a girls' night on Friday.
Woo!
which is really fun. I went out with my two white girlfriends, and they are, this is important to the story, I'm not just profiling just because. Roll with me. They are both feminists, and we went to this restaurant in Brooklyn. And when we got in, a man was like, oh, wow, I love your hair. It's really beautiful. I was like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, man. And he just stops. He looks at me. He's like, oh, man, just, oh, God. It's, oh, man, it's just beautiful. And I was like, thank you. And my girlfriends were like, that's weird. Yeah, that's weird. And so then we sat down, and then there was another guy, and he was sitting at the table next to us, and he was really drunk. And so he turns towards our table like a complete 180 and is like, hey. And he was that kind of drunk where they're like, you like lean forward in being drunk. Like, it could be a throw up, but it's not.
Yeah.
But he was just like, hey. And I was like, hi. And he's like, I really love your hair. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. It's fine. And he's like, can I? Can I touch it?
No.
And I was about to say something. And then both of my two white girlfriends were like, oh, my God, are you fucking kidding me?
Yes.
Unbe-fucking-leavable. And they were just swearing. Like, I can't even fucking believe that shit. How dare you? How dare you? And I was just sitting back, and I was like, oh, my God, yes. And they were just like, I can't even believe that you would. You don't know this by now? Like, you don't know this?
Wow.
And he's like, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it was just a question. They're like, it's not just a question. You're, like, oppressing her, and you don't even know it. How dare you? Turn around. They turn to me like, you have to fucking go through that all the time. I just can't even believe it. The world that we fucking live in. And I was like, we did it, black ladies. Like, we kind of did it.
That's great.
It was fucking awesome.
Where are these white ladies from?
And how they're from, like, one is from, like, New Hampshire, and then the other one is from Connecticut.
So they did their research.
Like, we really did it.
That's amazing.
And they can be our soldiers.
What? That is incredible.
We don't have to, like,
right, they
trudge.
Could be on the front lines.
Yeah,
for us.
And we could just kind of be on the back, like, hey, get them, girl.
Yeah. that's a great.
It was awesome, though. It felt really good. I didn't have to say diddly shit.
I'm trying to think. Oh, Allison is in the audience tonight. She's one
Hi,
of my
Allison.
Closest friends. She's very sweet. And so last.
Her face is like.
Don't point me out.
You're being such a bitch right now.
No, but some of you guys were at the show, and I talked about how I had an encounter at Michael's, and I had some.
It was like bullshit.
Yeah, some racist employees who like did not serve me, but they like waited on the white people instead, and so I ranted about it on Facebook, and I was like, "Oh, that feels good." I said some f bombs. I'm good. I go on with my day, and then Allison calls me, and she's like. I just got off the phone with Michaels and I filed an official complaint. And I was like, that's why.
That's amazing.
I was like, that is. Like, wow. I just didn't think you. Black people don't think about filing complaints.
No.
Like, we're just like, motherfucker!
Well, you know what it is? It's because it's the system.
Right.
It's the fucking system. Right. So it feels like. All you can do in that moment is just, like, get lit.
Yeah.
Obviously embarrass yourself in front of everybody in the vicinity.
Right.
And then go home and then go fucking meditate.
Right. And then Alex was like, no, I'm just going to...
I love that.
Dial area code, 7 digits. Hi, can I speak to your manager? Mm. Great. I'll wait. And then she filed a formal complaint.
Beautiful creature.
Yeah. So I started direct messaging with Michaels. And
like on Twitter?
Yeah. Because then after she filed a complaint, and then another white friend was like, hey, you should just like complain about this on Twitter because people respond to that on Twitter. I was like, oh, okay. So I did. And then I was like, that moment when, like, so fucking douchey.
But sometimes you got to get it trending. So.
Right. And then someone on Michael's was like, hey, can you, we're following you. Can you follow us back so we could talk about this? And I was like, oh, that was quick. So we had a bunch of exchanges and they're like, okay, we're going to look into it. And I haven't heard anything back. So I'm like, should I follow up or do I just need to move on.org?
Well, you already started it. So you need to like just
finish
that.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So I will follow up with them and I'll keep you guys posted. But
that's cool.
Allison is the whole, yeah. I mean, thank Allison, you so much, Allison. I love
God
you.
God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless people of all races that stand in solidarity with us.
I should be able to buy frames and not get...
Yeah, like profiled. Put yeah. some damn frames.
I'm buying.
That's the thing. It's like, it wasn't like you pulled up to like a Bentley lot and were trying to get a Bentley and they're like, you can't afford it. Like you it didn't get like, Pretty Woman on Rodeo Drive.
Right. It's like literally everyone can afford frames. You know what
like,
I mean?
Why? Like, yeah. I don't know. It just never ends.
Yeah. But I want to have my big mistake moments. So I need to like do that like... Big mistake. Huge.
Oh, shit. And
I'm going to Joann Fabrics.
Major. Like
those are like the only two options. So they know where I'm going. Okay. They know. Are you guys ready for more show? Our first guest is a favorite of ours. Please get up for Shane Torres.
Hey, I am the exact physical opposite of your last two comedians. But sometimes people ask to touch my hair, too. Do you guys remember meeting your first homeschooled kid? Anyone? No? Oh, yeah? If you never met a homie, I'll explain it to you. They always act exactly the way an alien would act if they took over a human's body. Like, they kind of get it, but if you watch them from a distance, you're just like, that one's eating cereal with a fork. Fucking homeschooled kid. And they just show up one day. Just walk out of a house in your neighborhood you thought no children lived in. And when they come out, they always smell like laundry that wasn't dried properly. And the first thing they say to you is always nuttier than squirrel shit. It's never how you doing. It's always something bizarre. Like, my name is Baxter and my dad puts honey in our milk. And you're like, ah! You're super weird. You laugh like a bully's friend. It's like, get him, Doug. It's very endearing. Can someone please explain to me what Guy Fieri actually did to anyone ever? Because as far as I can tell, that guy has not done anything wrong, and everybody shits on him all the time, and all he did was follow his dreams. It's crazy. Ever since my father passed away, I'm not great with transitions. I have a family member who thinks they're in charge. Do you guys have a family member like this, thinks they run shit? Yeah, and you just treat them like the assistant manager of a Blockbuster? Like, fuck you and your khakis. Blockbuster was like Netflix in a building, if you didn't get that reference. And you had to wait for stuff. Sometimes it wasn't there. It was a really archaic system. And then if you were done with it, you didn't bring it back right away. You got charged a lot, and then you yelled at me. So I guess it was like a year or two ago. I flew home. I surprised my mother for Christmas because I'm a real good son. And we were sitting around my mother's Christmas dinner table. And I just happened to say this phrase, okay? Oh, did you guys hear? We might have a black James Bond. It's a very reasonable statement. any way you slice it. Really not even a thing that, just like conversation, you know? And then this person says, who? So you kind of already know. And I says, Idris Elba, he played Stringer Bell on The Wire, super handsome, goatee. Right, you know. You know when you don't know shit about cars, but you're like, that's a nice fucking car? Same thing, but black actor. There's not a hair out of place on him. He's like pretty perfect. Also the physical opposite of me. But I says, Idris Elba played Stringer Bell on The Wire, right? And this person goes, no. And then they got up and left Christmas dinner. And it's exactly for the reason you think, because they're a stupid bigot. They came back in 5 minutes later and just looked me dead in the eyes, and they go, you know, Shane, if you're too open-minded, your brain will fall out. And they nodded at the end, like, checkmate, motherfucker. Like, and that person wins, because I don't know how to argue with shit that doesn't make sense. Like, you don't get to come in with a colloquialism and be like, your move. Like, oh, this turkey's kind of dry, but it'll make a turd. Boom. Well, you know, if you buy a hog and you don't check the snout, it could be a chicken. Better get your butter going, because them grits ain't going to cook. Boom. Any time my beloved mother hears the actor George Clooney's name, she always says the exact same thing, the exact same way. And it's never like, I'm so wet. So I'm going to do an impression of my mother hearing the actor George Clooney's name. Could you help me out? And will you just say George Clooney loud enough to where everyone can hear it after I turn around and you wait like five seconds? Yeah, thank you. You got it. This is my mother hearing the actor George Clooney's name.
George Clooney!
Oh, that George Clooney? You know they say he has political aspirations. And that's it. I have seen her do that and then walk into another room. It's probably dementia. She's getting up there. She'll be fine. You guys can probably tell this by looking at me, but I have been fired a lot. So I'm 34 years old, and I look like a Native American meatloaf impersonator. I saw a guy quit his job the best way ever once. I was working at a restaurant in Fort Worth, Texas, where I'm from, and this manager, Pat, and this waiter, Richard, they just got in a huge argument on the dining room floor, and they were screaming back and forth and screaming back and forth. Until finally the manager, Pat, just goes, all right, Richard, get the fuck out. You're fucking fired. And Richard just yelled back without missing a beat, I don't need this goddamn job. I sell coke. Which is the best way ever to quit your job. Like, fuck your reference. I'm in the dope game now. Richard gonna be all right. He wasn't. He got shot. He's a drug dealer. Calm down. I'll finish with a joke. I'm cute. Yeah, I'm cute. Sometimes I'm cute. Cute is how I am, not how I look. Oh. Somebody just goes, oh. It's fine. It was sympathetic. It's sweet. You guys ever buy a bottle of your ex-girlfriend's shampoo? wash your hair with it. And then sit around and smell yourself. Me neither. You guys are real sweet. Thank you. I'm Shane Torres. Y'all have a great night. Phoebe Robbins and Jessica Williams.
Give it up for Shane Torres!
Shane!
He's so funny.
One of the greats.
Coming up, our girl Khalees Hawkins talks about her dumb kid's birthday wish. Don't go away.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/dopequeens today to get 10% off your first month.
About 600,000 people go missing every year in the U.S., prompting family members to become amateur detectives. On the trail of one missing person is journalist Tanya Mosley.
Why do you think you hesitated when we first met in telling me the full details about your mother's disappearance?
It's heartbreaking. I didn't want to break your heart.
I'm Kai Wright. Tanya Mosley joins me next time on Notes from America. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready to bring up the next
one? Okay, she's very, very funny. She's one of my favorite comedians working. You've seen her. She's been on Jimmy Fallon. She was on Oxygen's Funny Girls. She just got hired to write a new True TV comedy show. What's the name of it?
Comedy Knockout.
Please get up for Khalees Hawkins!
Usually I like to drink wine before my set because it loosens me up. I'm trying to, like, lay off the wine, so I switched to this. This is still something alcoholic. Just joking! Trying to start off my set. I was home by myself a couple years ago after a really bad breakup, and I was drinking wine by myself with my Chihuahua Maltese watching Netflix, which, by the way, is the only way my ex-boyfriend could hurt me now is if he changes his Netflix password. But when you're home and all you have is like a tiny little dog and you're crying, they're useless. I used to have a Rottweiler. She didn't know what to do either, but she tried. She would stand over me protectively. She'd be confused, but she'd howl. She'd be like, oh, I got you. But when I cried around my little shitty Chihuahua Maltese, all she did was hide in the corner. She was shivering. She's like, I know, right? It's really scary out there. We should stay inside forever. You could use my pee-pee pad. I only got her for my kid because ever since she's been able to talk, she's been asking for a sibling because she doesn't realize she was a one-night stand. She just turned 9. You know what she asked for her birthday? She wanted a twin. Yeah, she's a fucking idiot. Could you imagine if I could give that to her? If I could be like, happy birthday to you. Open the closet door. Remember how mommy told you not to go near the door? Happy birthday to you. Well, when I had you, there was another one, and I just stuffed it behind here, and I told you not to open that because I knew one of you was going to be an asshole, and I put the other one in there. Happy birthday. What do you want to name it? My kid's an idiot. She's at that age where I cannot convince her there's evil in the world. And do you know how scary that is for me? I cannot convince her. I tried to have the conversation with her. I was like, listen, if anybody ever comes up to you in the park, if a guy comes up to you and says, help me find my puppy, don't trust it. It's a trick. She was like, I don't know, mommy. A lot of people lose their dogs. You mean to tell me all these missing puppy posters are full of shit? She's like, what would you think, mommy? How would you feel if you went to the park with our doggy Yoshi and she got loose and you went up to somebody's kid and you're like, hey, you gotta help me find my puppy. And the kid's like, what are you trying to fuck me? She didn't say that last part, but that's how she thinks. But I don't blame her for not knowing things. I don't know things, or else she wouldn't be here. People just assume that moms know everything. A friend of mine was like, I have a question. I need some advice. And you're a mom. You would know. I'm like, no. I don't know. Being a mom doesn't qualify you to do things. Okay? All right? All I know how to do is have unprotected sex. Could you imagine if it mattered any other kind of way? Could you imagine if you're on a plane and the flight attendant is like, oh, no. The pilot just died. And we're all going to crash unless... Is there a mom on the plane? I'm like, I'm a mom. She's like, mommy, what do we do? I'm like, look, don't worry. I don't know how to fly a plane, but we'll try to fuck this pilot back to life. Somebody hold my baby. I just want to be a good mom like my mom was. You know, she raised me to take care of myself and to be independent. My mom raised me to be a strong black woman. But she didn't tell me the side effects of loneliness and depression. Because you could be too strong. A lot of black women have to live that life where they have to be strong. Like, I don't need nobody. I don't need nobody. I don't need no man or nobody. And then one day you wake up and nobody's there. You're like, oh shit, it worked. My mom raised me to be so independent. I don't even know how to be on a date with a guy and let him buy my dinner without feeling like I'm homeless. It's awkward. I don't know how to order off the menu in front of his face if I know he's going to pay without feeling like I'm begging. I'm like, could you buy me this Coke? But I feel like all he hears me saying is, ah, it's gone. You spare some change for this appetizer. I'm a single independent woman. But this was a rough day, so I came on this day for calamari. That's how men make me feel. And that's why I drink. People are really hard on alcoholism. But you can't be too hard on alcoholism, okay? Come on. If I wasn't drinking, I would have never met my child. I'm currently not single, actually. My current boyfriend is white, which is interesting because there's a different kind of stereotype when you have a white boyfriend, you know? Different kind of thing going on. I like it. He's nice. He's very companionable. He's always around. He's always there. Is that what it's like? To be with a white guy? I had a kid with a black guy. I can't find him. But the white guy. I actually bring that up to see how much you would laugh at that because there's a stereotype about black men not taking care of their kids. And nobody does any fucking research. They don't care about the history. They don't care. They're just like, just take care of your kids. It's easy. Just do it. Just dodge all the bullets and all the unfair fucking job opportunities and go home and take care of your kid. And then we watch Jerry Springer and they have the paternity test. And he goes, you are not the father. And the guy's doing his little dance like, ah, I told you the baby, ah, it's not my baby. Ah. And we're home watching on the TV screen going, ah, look at that guy dancing. He's so excited because he doesn't have another mouth to feed. He can't afford to feed himself. Ah, that's hilarious. Ah. Meanwhile, every other week, there's a new black guy that gets released from prison off of DNA evidence and said he didn't do shit. That's the Maury Povich special I want to see, where they have a DNA evidence, rip open an envelope and go, holy shit, you are not the murderer. That's what I want to see. I get a different form of discrimination now that I have a white boyfriend. I'm on the train with him. And, you know, there's this light-skinned couple that saw us, and they're being real fucking light-skinned. Do you know what I mean? They were being real fucking light-skinned. They were annoyed with us. She's like, you pinched us earlier when you got on a train. I was like, you've been holding on to that shit for this whole ride. Why didn't you say something earlier? She's like, well, now you just pushed my boyfriend. And I was like, oh, did I, bitch? Because I'm not mature. And then I realized that she was mad at me because I was sitting with a white guy. And she thought that I thought that I was better than her. And I got so angry. I was like, you don't fucking know my life. You don't realize how many black guys I fucked before I got to this one white dude. After we got off the train, my boyfriend was like, why were those Spanish people so angry at you? I was like, they weren't. He said, well, why didn't you just speak Spanish to them to make them feel more comfortable? I was like, I'm not. All this time I thought my boyfriend was so progressive. He's just a fucking idiot. All right. A lot of discrimination in the world. A lot of racism. And now the gay people are taking it in the ass. Figuratively. If you can't laugh at that, then why are we here? The gay people are taking it in the ass. Figuratively. A lot of people are angry about that. They're very angry about that. I don't understand why straight people get mad about gay people having sex. They don't want to have sex with you. Leave them alone. They're like, yeah, but you're going to burn in hell. I'm like, yeah. Isn't that what you want? What do you want? Shouldn't you say that a little more excited? Like, you're going to burn in hell. What do you fucking want? Do you want all the gay people to walk around pretending to be straight until they die and they go to heaven like, we made it. We're all here now. And we're going to fuck you. The other thing is, if you're born gay or if you choose it, I don't even know why gay people are like, I was born this way. Stop saying that. You should be able to make a fucking decision. You're old enough to do that. I don't understand why you have to be born that way. I'm 35 years old. Do you know how many guys I've hooked up with in my life who have tried to put their penis in my butt? I know. I was like, oh my God. Did you choose this? Or were you born this way? Just stay out of people's sex lives, okay? This is my last joke, so laugh really hard. When I first had my daughter by myself, everybody was so judgmental. They were so judgmental. They're like, okay, I can't believe you're bringing a child into the world. How are you gonna raise it? What are you gonna do? They're so mean about it. But that's not the worst thing you could do in life. There's so many worse things you could do in life than bring a child into the world. I brought a kid into this world. So fucking what? Okay? I'm pretty. Do you understand? I'm not bragging. It's not my fault. I'm pretty. I don't even know what to do with it half the time. I'm pretty because my parents were two shallow pieces of shit. And when they met each other, they're like, oh, let's get married. Then they had three kids. And then they got divorced and they left us by ourselves to walk down the street. And you know how when I'm walking down the street, how many penises I have to fight off? And you know what? I can't dodge every dick. It's a numbers game. I'm going to make a t-shirt. It's going to say, I can't dodge every dick. And the back is going to say, so buy me a drink and roll the dice. Thank you.
Give it up for Khalees Hawkins.
Woo! Hey, guys, we're going to take a quickie, but we'll be right back with Roy Wood Jr. Did you know that he hates the boy band B2K? Well, he does. And it's personal. Find out why in a minute!
Carnegie Hall has welcomed a dizzying array of performers.
To have Andy Kaufman, Frank Zappa, and Birgit Nielsen and Horowitz on the same stage, it becomes this kaleidoscope of our history.
I'm Jessica Vosk. Join me for the new podcast, If This Hall Could Talk. It's all about our unique cultural history, as witnessed by one of New York's most beloved institutions, Carnegie Hall. Listen now, wherever you get podcasts.
Thanks for sticking with us. Okay, back to the show. I'm changing up my style from the spring.
It looks like you got a fanny pack.
I got a fanny pack.
Let's talk about what's in there.
I don't have much in it because this is like my debut, so I'm trying to keep it clean.
Yeah.
So I have half a thing of Tic Tacs.
Oh, cute. You need that.
Yeah. I have my cell phone in there earlier.
Yeah.
And I have my Mophie charger, so my cell phone never
dies. That's cool.
I will survive.
Yeah, that is really smart.
I got sustenance and I got electric. Like, you can't, the zombies can't fuck with me, dude. Like,
man, girl, you would be so dead so quickly.
Yeah, I know. I know.
My dad, he used to carry around a fanny for a majority of my childhood. And it was the same one. It was not as cool as that.
Yeah.
It was like ripped in certain parts and it was just filled to the brim.
With what?
And just fucking receipts, credit cards, his like police badge, like everything.
And it had like police badge.
Yeah, like everything. And he was like, he's sort of like a chubbier guy, so it would just, his stomach would gently lean over and I'd be like, I love it. Felt so comforting.
That's cute.
But he was a dad who, like, if we would go to like Food for Less or like a grocery store, like a Key Foods or something, he would wear his house shoes. Like, he just gave no fucks. And he would get chips, like he would get a big bag of chips and he would start eating it on the way to the register.
Oh, he's one of those people.
He's that dude. Nah. And he would like drink the drink, like a whole Coke, and then hand the bottle to the girl who was like checking everything out. And I'd just be like, Dad, kill me. Once he super embarrassed me, it was like Black History Month at my after school program or whatever. Yeah. And both my parents showed up. I was like 9.
Okay.
And this was like with a lot of white kids. Both my parents showed up in full African dashiki form. And like nobody told me that it was happening. And they're like pretty straightforward from the Midwest. Like, I don't know where the fuck they got it. Like, they weren't like driving, they weren't like dropping me off at school that morning being like, hey, just so that you know, your mom's gonna wear like the biggest dashiki hat she can find. So then I ran to the bathroom and I cried.
Oh, no.
Did your parents ever do weird shit like that?
They're like pretty, I don't want to say like boring, but they're pretty just chill, like Midwest people.
Uh-huh.
My mom did take me out of school once. This was like middle school. Uh-huh. And there was like a middle school like talent show or whatever. And I like bought this like crop top.
Yeah.
And I was like,
how old were you?
I was like, I don't know, like 12.
Ooh, shit.
Yeah. And so my mom was like, I was walking out the house. My mom was like, you're not wearing that crop top.
She's
to school. Right.
Right. Of course.
She's
not.
Like, go back upstairs and change. So I was like, all right. And I like stuffed in my book bag.
Ooh, bad girl.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm ready for school. So she like drops me off at school. And I think she like went up into like my bedroom to like look for the crop top.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she saw it wasn't there. So she like drove her ass back to school. And she like waited until like 10 minutes before the talent show. I got called out of class. It was like, Phoebe, you're going home. Everyone was like, why is she leaving? And I was like, because of this crop top.
So you had it on.
I had it on.
Oh, stunning.
Yeah, I was like trying to be like, what up?
Whenever I got in trouble that bad, like my mom's thing that she likes to yell when she's angry is she goes, how could you walk out here like that? You came from my coochie. That's what she likes to say to me. With just all of the conviction of Angela Bassett. In any film.
I was like, the coochie surprise. I don't feel like your
she
mom
she loves to say coochie.
Wow.
I know.
Your mom is so fascinating.
Sometimes she's really... My mom, she is like a former, obviously, like, hot lady. Like, she used to go to clubs and stuff. And whenever she tells me about how hot she used to be, she'd be like, girl, the men all pause whenever I walk into the club. But then when I was born, she found religion and she found Christianity. So now she's a minister. But every now and then, like my old mom comes out and it's like very funny. Like BC mom comes out.
Oh, my God. I love that.
It's pretty funny. It makes for a very dynamic mother. She has an AOL account, and recently she got hacked. Like, of course, because it's fucking AOL.
Right.
It's like, she's had it for 10 years, and the AOL account was messaging me as my mom. It sent me an email, and it was like, hey, I'm stuck in the Philippines. And it was like, I'm in a hotel. Can you please wire me money to my hotel? I love you, Maria. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to email this back.
That's all. What did you
and
write?
I was like, Mom, really? You're stuck in the Philippines? What? Why did you go there? And it emailed me back. Well, I went there because actually I'm in a tight bind. I can't explain it right now. Please just wire me the money.
And so then I started to add very specific things and like ask the person questions.
Right.
And they just wouldn't buck. They just kept doing, please just send me money. I'm scared.
Oh my God.
And so then I was like, fuck off forever. Die in a fire. This is my mother.
Yeah. And so does your mom still have the AOL account?
Yes. She's still using it. She's very active with it.
What?
She doesn't know what to do. I told her just get a Gmail. She's like, nah, I like my AOL account.
Yeah. Same with my parents.
That's how I get my news.
Yeah. So my mom, and my mom is really bad at emails. Like, she never, like, writes back.
What do you mean? Like, she
like, you'll, like, whatever you send her, she's just, like, noted. Like, she, like, nods at the screen, but, like, doesn't, like, actually.
She was like, I think it's sent out?
Right. Like, she, like, doesn't, like, write back.
That's great. My mom signs off on text messages.
That's cute.
As usual. She gets periods confused with commas. And I think she thinks that the at sign means about.
Oh, no.
So she goes, what are you talking, at sign? And I'm like, oh, there's effort here, but it's not enough.
Oh, no.
God bless her.
That's
She's going to love this episode of the podcast.
I know, right? I got late into technology. Like, I didn't have a cell phone until I was 21.
Oh, wow.
So, like, through, like, college, like, I still just had, like, my room, like, my dorm phone. Like, if I wasn't
in
my...
so you were using a landline.
Yeah, I was, like, out in these streets.
What?
And, like, that's going like to, like, fucking poetry class.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's, like, very Ben Franklin.
Right. Yeah, I was, like, off the grid. And I remember, like, especially, like, my freshman year, I shared a room, my dorm room, with this girl who I think... her parents, like, she was just, like, one of those people where, like, you move away and your parents, like, really don't know what this person is really like outside of their presence.
Yeah.
And so she was, like, always out in these streets. Like, she would be gone for, like, days at a time. Then she'd, like, come back to, like, check on her, like, Tamagotchi, like, pet thing that she had.
So she just wasn't keeping it with her?
She wasn't keeping it with her.
What a fucking terrible Tamagotchi mom.
And so it was, like, the fucking help. I was, like, Viola Davis. Like,
you're looking at it like, you is kind. Beep, beep, beep. You is small. Beep, beep, beep. You's important. Now, let me clean your poop.
Yeah, I was doing that. I was, like, feeding the pet everything. And
that
her,
is so ig.
It's so ig. It was this white girl. And then, like, her parents, obviously.
It's FYI.
Right, just... And then...
But that's just natural. That's how the world falls into place. Right. Watch my baby. Oh.
Right. And then her parents would call. Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, where, I forget her name, like, where's Susan? That's not her name. But, like, where's Susan or whatever? Uh-huh. And I would just be like, oh, I think she's, like, in class. Like, I just would, like, make up shit about, like, what her life is like. Because she, like, obviously wasn't calling her parents. Uh-huh. I don't know. She was probably at, like, raves and shit.
Yeah. You're like, she's at Whole Foods.
Yeah. Bye. Click.
Yeah. Like, that was, like, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So did you ever have a talk with her?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Because... one day I came back to the dorm. Uh-huh. This is when I still used to, like, straighten my hair a little bit. And I went to, like, use my comb. And I saw that her, like...
Nope!
Yep. She had used my fucking comb!
Nope. That is the grossest thing ever.
So gross.
Holy shit.
So I just saw these, like, strands of, like, brown hair. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
And I was like... I got so mad. Yeah. So when she came home, I was like, you can't use my motherfucking combs.
What you're doing, you're sitting in the dark when she opens the door. You have your comb. You turn around in your computer chair.
Yeah.
She's like, Phoebe, I didn't know you. Are you sleeping? You're like, no, bitch. I've been waiting for your ass.
I have the comb in, like, an evidence bag, you know?
You're like, I could stand the Tamagotchi. I could stand talking to your parents. But this brush, you go fuck yourself.
And she was like, oh my God, I'm so... And she, like, got terrified. Mm-mm. She, like, started taking care of her Tamagotchi. Like, she, like... Because I got, like, black girl mad at her. She had never seen it. So she's like, oh, I got to be a better mother. Yeah. Like, she, like... got on it.
Turn your life around.
Yeah.
We didn't go through the civil rights movement for shit like that to happen. Fix your shit. I love this next comedian. He is so funny. He's been doing stand-up for a very long time. You can catch him on The Daily Show. Please give it up for Roy Wood Jr. Sharon, Sharon,
yeah, I had a question for y'all.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Why does my AOL email address bother you? Because I got one, and it's still active.
It's ignorant. Like, it's active. Just ignorant.
It doesn't, it, like, here's my thing. It's the one thing that doesn't, like, my phone's not going to give your phone email herpes or something if you... Like, and I know it makes me dated, but I don't give a shit. It's convenient.
It's like a status thing.
Right.
You wanna, like, you're like a little bit ashy, and we've got lotion because we have a Gmail.
Right.
You want to know a true story?
Go ahead.
Yes.
The day I got the Daily Show, the first thing I did when I got the call and I hung up with Comedy Central, I went on my website and changed my shit to Gmail. Because I didn't want to get laughed at. Like, before I checked tweets to make sure I didn't say some stupid tweet in 2004 that you'd try to get me fired for, I was like, no, they'll fire me for this AOL shit first. So I got to... Y'all, give it up for Jessica and Phoebe, man. Thank y'all for having me here, man. It's been a weird career. It's right, I have been doing comedy a long time, man. I'll tell you a story real quick. I won't really... do a lot of jokes, but I'll tell you a story about the time Arsenio Hall saved my career. Which is three syllables. This dude straight up saved my career. I did Star Search in 2003, which clearly didn't make me a star. It's a talent competition. It's like every other talent competition. It's a bunch of people that you've never heard of getting in front of people who can't do the shit that they're judging. And then they send you on your way. They crush your dreams. They kick you in the balls. And they send you back to Alabama crying. And so I'm on the show, and I got through the first round fine. Second round, they had these celebrity judges, right? And, you know, they had, like, the three set judges, none of whom were comedians. It was Naomi Judd, it was Ahmet Zappa, and it was Ben Stein. Which, Ben Stein's a funny dude, but I've never seen an hour special from him. Maybe it is, I don't know. Maybe send me the VHS tape if it exists. The celebrity judges that week was B2K. Not even all of B2K, just two of them, J Boog and Raz B. I'll never forget them. And this is when they were hot. They hadn't broken up yet into fucking Omarion and all this solo shit. It was J Boog and Raz B. And here I am, a fucking grown man, about to have my comedy judged by two 13-year-olds. And I prance my stupid ass out there on the stage. And there's people talking to you. You don't even have time to be nervous during a TV taping because there's so many people pulling and yanking. Okay, go here. And when Arsenio introduces you, you're going to go to the yellow mark. And then after you go to the yellow mark, then you go to the red mark. And the judges, that's what the judges will tell you, you ain't shit. And then you go to the green mark. I go out. I do my set. It's mediocre. Dig if you can find it. March 2003. Good luck. I wiped it from the internet as best I could, but I'm sure it's out there. Set's mediocre, right? It's fine. I sucked. But a 13-year-old doesn't get to tell me I sucked. I'm cool with Naomi. I'm cool with the country music heifer telling me I said, that's fine, whatever. But no, not J Boog. Your name is J Boog, sir. 5-star voting system on Star Search. 5 stars, you're hilarious. 1 star, go home. J Boog and Raz B not only give me 1 star, they don't even give me the dignity of eye contact while they're giving me my 1 star. And I don't know what happened. I'm from area code 35211 in Birmingham, which is statistically one of the most murderous zip codes in the country. And something clicked. It didn't even dawn on me that they're 14 and I'm going to try to fuck them up. Like, it didn't even dawn on me that that's not what you do to teenagers. You don't punch them in the face. And Arsenio Hall is standing right next to me. And I'm looking down because I'm nervous. And I look up and Arsenio goes, he goes, B2K, what do you have for Roy Wood Jr.? And they go, we got 1 star. We'd give you less, but there's no button for that. And something clicked. And I went to take a step towards them to whoop that ass. And this is how smooth Arsenio Hall is, man. This is how smooth he is. This dude on live television in front of 9, 10, 12 cameras just gives me a slight tug on the tail of my coat, and he just goes, mm-mm-mm. No one else could hear it. He put his mic down by the side so that the mic wouldn't pick it up, and he just went, mm-mm-mm. And like black man to black man, you know that noise. He's like, that ain't what you want to do, player. That ain't what you want to do. And he basically saved my career because I would have made an ass of myself. That's a true story, man. That dude, and that, God bless me, because that was a year before YouTube, because if that had happened after YouTube had started, I'd have been all over the internet. Black dude punches J-Boog in the face. That'd be my legacy. I guess I was always looking for, like, black men to look up to and stuff in my career. My pops passed when I was 16, so when I got out on the road as a comic, it was cool when you interacted with people older than you. It got me closer to my uncle, too. My uncle was, like, the head of my, like, advice department. Yeah. The advice ain't always good, but he gives it. You need a woman that can cook, boy. That's all my uncle tells me. Need a woman that can cook. You up there in the city, you get you a cooking woman. My uncle's from Mississippi. He can't talk without wobbling. He one of them dudes. You know, gonna get you some hush puppies and some carrots and maple glaze, boy. Don't care if a woman can cook. It's cool if you can, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. Can you read? Let's read a cookbook. Let's figure it out. But my uncle won't let it go. My uncle, ain't nothing wrong with a woman having a career. I'm not saying a woman be in the kitchen. I'm just telling you, boy, when I was your age, I loved coming home to a hot meal on that table. Well, yeah, I bet you did love coming home to a hot meal. You was dating in the 60s. You couldn't eat nowhere in public. I'm saying, your only chance at a free meal, it was pressure-free, was at the house. I don't have to live how you live. We got desegregation and Chipotle. I'm chilling, man. It's good times. Talk to my uncle about health advice now. 37, I'm at that age. I'm past warranty. You know, check engine light starting to come on a couple times. Got to go to the doctor, get stuff looked at and everything. Blood pressure's moderate. It's no longer normal. It's not high. It's moderate. Which means you show no symptoms of high blood pressure, but you just have to believe your doctor when he says it's moderate. And I try to figure it out, see if he's lying, but I don't understand the blood pressure fractions on the machine. You know, the blood pressure machine got the fraction. The systolic 582 over 11. I don't know how to divide that denominator. Blood sugar's going up. So I was talking to my uncle about that, you know, as far as addiction is concerned. I think sugar is an addiction. It's a drug, same as everything else. Physiologically speaking, it hits the same part of your brain that cocaine does. I'm trying to get my uncle to help me out with that and make sure that I don't drink myself into an amputation from Coca-Cola. Like, 'cause the thing is like I'll never give smokers grief. Like going through sugar withdrawals and like trying to keep your blood sugar down. That shit is a battle. Like, I don't judge smokers anymore. Like, I can't judge you. I'm drinking flavored battery acid. I would rather have a cocaine addiction than a sugar addiction. If I had to choose, I would rather cocaine. Because sugar, you know why sugar's harder to quit? Because so much shit that you eat turns into sugar after you, it's not just sugar you gotta watch out for. It's all this other trick shit that transforms. Oh, did you have a burger? Oh, you can't have a burger. That get down there and turn into sugar. You got to be careful. Did you have a taco? Oh, no, man. You can't have no taco. You know taco got complex and simple carbohydrate. That carbohydrate get down and metabolize and turn into sugar. Say what you want about cocaine, but at least it keep it real. It's honest. Cocaine is just cocaine. There's nothing you can, oh man, what did you have, a waffle? Oh, you can't be eating no waffle. get down there, turn into heroin. You got to be careful. It's a more straightforward addiction to deal with, and I'm not going to sit here and try to compare cravings, but I just know that sugar is some hard shit to shake, man. Then, advertise. It's the only drug that can advertise. Most of these other drugs and shit that people hooked on, there's no commercials for that shit. There's no tobacco commercials. You get beer commercials, but you don't get hard liquor, but fucking sugar. Every week, there's some new fucking double cinnamon toasted fucking encrusted. Come on and pick it up. Limited time. You be sitting at home like, damn, it's double encrusted. I got to try this shit. All these different flavors. Imagine quitting a drug and then they come out with new flavors the next week. Damn, I got to try this double encrusted fucking honey maple glaze. You quit cocaine, that's it. It's just a battle between you and yourself. That's it. You don't have to fucking look at ads on TV. There's no new flavored cocaines coming out. Fucking quit cocaine. If your dealer called you tomorrow and said that he had bacon-flavored cocaine, you'd be curious. I'm not saying you'd do it, but at the minimum, you'd call up one of your crackhead buddies. Man, you know they got that shit in bacon now? We got to try that bacon cocaine. You got to be careful with that bacon cocaine, because you know they say once you snort that shit, it get down there and it turn into sugar. I gotta go, man. Thank you, guys.
Give it up for Roy Wood Jr. What do you think your last words would be?
Oh, my last words. Oh, my gosh.
I'm talking, this is like a very casual situation. Like, it's not, like, you're casually dying. It's not, like, something devastating. Like, you don't need to focus on who the murderer was.
Oh, so this is, like, me, like, reflecting on my life, like, I fucking crushed it.
Yeah, okay. This is you talking to a younger person who's, like, found your body. They're like, Grandma, we ain't Grandma. And you're like, ugh, I'm dying. What's, like, your last, what are your last
words? I would say, fuck Michael Fassbender for me.
who's also like 150. Grandma!
He's only 7 years older than me.
Oh, that's cool. He'll probably be alive then.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still a chance. Wait, for me? You think there's a chance for me?
Of course. There's always a chance for you. You're doing rock solid stuff all the time.
I know, but
I'm talking about your hypothetical grandchildren.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay, so that was a JK. I would hope that I have enough breath to start with a joke and then end with something serious. Like an Oscar speech.
That's how you do it.
Right. Okay. So joke would be like, oh, go fuck Michael Fassbender, LOL. And then I wouldn't waste the breath in the LOL because that might be too much. So fuck Michael Fassbender and then try and do some good in the world. That would be my final.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
That's like basic.
That's like
the Switzerland of like.
Yeah.
It's super chill.
Yeah.
No pressure.
But it's also like real because.
But something achievable.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. I think I would do something like be like. I was going to say be good, but I think that's the last thing E.T. says to Elliot when he gets on the stage. Doesn't he? He just goes, be good. And then he like gets on the stage. Well, thank you everybody for coming out tonight.
Keep it going for everyone you've seen tonight.
This is Phoebe Robinson.
This is Jessica Williams.
Thank you all for coming. Get home safe.
Bye. Love it. You just heard Roy Wood Jr., Khalees Hawkins, and Shane Torres.
Keep it regular, people. Subscribe to our podcast and never miss a show. And while you're at it, give us a 5-star rating. 5 stars, BB, nothing less.
Ever heard of Tumblr? Of course you have. So creep on us at 2dopequeens.tumblr.com for sneak peeks, hot GIFs or GIFs, depending on who you are, and more. We'll be back soon with a new episode.
Put your life on hold. We'll be back for a new episode. That was my Oprah.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Salataroff. Our team includes Rachel Neal, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, Casey Means,
Alex Overington, Joe Plord, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky. Love that dude. What up, Jeff Brodsky? Today is going to be the day that we're going to throw it back to you.
That is Oasis.
What Ooh. About... Look around the world, pretty baby. Is it everything you hoped it would be?
I don't know their name.
The wrong situation. The right. I think it's Spin Doctors.
Oh, I love Spin Doctors.
The road of me.